Well, obviously, the health service, the National Health Service in particular, is front and central on most of the press at the moment. But across the country, other organisations dealing with other sectors of the healthcare industry are still trying to get through their average day. One of which, of course, is the Arthur Rank Hospice Charity, very well known to us in Cambridge and here on Cambridge 105 Radio. I'm joined on the line by the Chief Executive Officer, Sharon Allen. Sharon, hi.
Hello, Neil. How are you?
Well, thank you, and I hope you are too. These must be daunting times for you.
They are times like I have never known, Neil. It is really, every word you want to say, challenging, unprecedented, starts to feel sort of like it doesn't really explain the enormity of what we're having to deal with. And yet, as you won't be surprised to hear me say, the team here, and that's the whole team, our colleagues, our volunteers, our trustees, are just rising every day to that challenge, being absolutely fantastic. And I just want to say a huge, huge thank you to them from the bottom of my heart for being responsive and flexible and doing what needs to be done and still smiling.
As you say, it comes as no surprise, but it's still amazing to see them do it anyway, isn't it? That's the thing.
It really is, yeah.
All right, let's start looking at the changes that you must have had to put in place. So talk us through where you're at the moment.
Okay, so every day feels like an eternity with so many changes, and like many organisations and hospices up and down the country, unfortunately we have had to close some of our services so that we can put all our resources into the services we must keep going. So let's start with what we're still doing, and that is our inpatient unit is still open and we are still taking patients into our inpatient unit. We have unfortunately had to put restrictions in for visitors. Nobody's going to be surprised to hear me say that, but you'll also appreciate what a very difficult decision that has been for us. So we're asking families only next of kin and only two visitors, and please only to visit the person you're there to visit. No kind of being in any of the communal areas, which is normally such an important part of what we can offer to families. I should also say, Neil, that families and people that we're contacting to talk about the changes are also being wonderful. They understand and are supporting us. So a huge thank you to our community. Our community team with our clinical nurse specialists is still working and still visiting when people need that, but we have moved to offering telephone support as far as we are able to. And our hospice at home service is also still running and still visiting people and providing that absolutely essential support. Obviously, we, like all organisations, really need as much PPE as we can get hold of, the personal protection equipment. So again, we're so grateful to people who've donated gloves and masks and aprons. We need more goggles and we need more of all of it, so please keep it coming if you have any. We have unfortunately closed our day therapy service due to the vulnerability of people accessing that service and also trying to slow down footfall into the hospice. It's eerily quiet here now.
I can imagine.
But we are again offering telephone support to people, and everything else. So our bistro is now only providing food for patients and our colleagues who are still here working. Our education and conference centre is closed, our shops are closed, and all of our fundraising activity has had to change. So we should have been having afternoon tea last weekend, it should have been the hoo-ha. They've had to close. Now, again, I can only say a huge thank you to our community, because many people who bought tickets for afternoon tea have very generously converted their ticket into a donation. And we're so, so grateful to everybody for doing that. And I'm unashamedly going to ask everybody to please keep doing that and anything else you can do to support us.
Okay. The numbers are eye-watering. We say this every time any of you, we talk to any of you or your staff, the likes of Donna, the numbers are eye-watering. And I'm guessing, if anything, the costs in a lot of ways are going up because of, you know, having to buy stuff in from not your normal suppliers and things like that.
Exactly that, and also needing more colleagues than we would normally have because of the demands on our services going up. So we are also bringing people back to work for us, asking people to come back who've retired or moved on and are able to, or even redeploying colleagues. So we've got a massive sort of logistics going on, looking at people who are currently working from home and who would normally be in maybe our fundraising or other central support type of teams, who have been, again, brilliant in offering to do different roles, to be trained up so that they can come and support on the inpatient unit or support with telephone calls to people. But they've all got to be paid for. So as you would expect, we've done some modelling and we've looked at the impact of everything sort of being closed down, as it were, in terms of income generation for 6 months. And that will mean that we will see our income fall by over £700,000.
Good Lord.
Yep. So we're obviously looking at what we can do differently. We're looking at what we can access through the government support programmes. And we know that there's a lot of work going on to try and impress upon the Treasury the need to support charities.
It does seem to be one area that hasn't come up on the list yet, has it? We had employed people, then finally we got to the self-employed. But I've not heard much said about the charity sector.
No, exactly. And that is a concern, because charities, all charities, are providing vital care and at times like this are needed more than ever. And we really do need the government to support us, but also our communities to dig us deep. So, you know, things like some people I've seen saying, you know, I'm not spending the money I did on my morning coffee. I'm not spending my money on my lunch or on going out as much. And if you are able to convert that into a donation to support us, or to think about doing your sponsorship in a different way, or anything people can do to help us so that we don't end up with a £700,000 gap, that would be fantastic.
Sure. So that's one practical way in which listeners can help you. Is there anything else you need? Are you looking? Do you need donations of staff, or do you need people? Are there jobs that the general public could do for you?
Yes, and we've also had some brilliant offers from people to come and volunteer with a range of different skills. So again, that's part of our planning that I was talking about, looking at all these wonderful people who've said, I can do this, I can do that, and how can we best help you? So yes, again, you won't be surprised to hear that many of our volunteers are no longer able to physically come in and support us. Many of them are in the age group that need to be taking particular care and staying at home, and of course they must do that. So if other people are able to step in and fill those places, that's great. It will most likely be asking people to provide some telephone support, but if anybody wants to get in touch, we can talk to them about what we need and how they can help us. We also need donations, as I said, of aprons, goggles, gloves, masks. And we've also had some lovely donations of treats for colleagues. So we had some puddings of strawberries. We've had some early Easter eggs. And these seemingly small things actually make a big difference, because it says to our colleagues that people are thinking of them and value them and care for them. And that really does help with a sort of morale boost when people are feeling naturally anxious. Everybody's feeling anxious, I think. And people who are really sort of in the thick of it and working with very poorly people, then what we can do to keep them uplifted and supported is really important.
Indeed, indeed. Well, Sharon, thank you for coming on the line and telling us where you're at. Do keep in touch. If there's anything we can do, we'll be delighted to try and help you. And our love to everybody down there at Shelford Bottom.
Thank you very much. And don't forget our Alan Hudson Day Treatment Centre as well in Wisbeach, because they need our love and support too.
Of course. Sharon, take care, and we'll keep in touch.
Thank you.